It may well be the most important thing you do as a man of God. I realize most men in here are elders, deacons, or leaders in the church. But it may well be the most important thing you ever do. The most important thing you ever do may well be to engage and enlist future leaders. The influence and impact and effect you have on others who eventually become elders, deacons, preachers, faithful members of the body of Christ. I have reached a point in my ministry where I know that more is past than is ahead. And with that knowledge comes the great concern that the baton is passed, that people are encouraged, that people are loved and influenced to become leaders of the church. Consider it the greatest investment that you make, an investment in the future. Since the theme of this session is called Engaging and Enlisting Leaders, I'll speak about leadership in general, but with a special emphasis being given to those who serve as elders. I have worked under the leadership of 67 different men who served in that capacity over the years. 67 elders. They were all marvelous men. Some of them had talent and ability that I could only dream about. Others were just more ordinary, but some were extraordinary. But every elder must be a man of maturity. Acts 20, verses 17 to the end of the chapter. An elder, not just chronologically, but we want to encourage people to become people of spiritual maturity as we invest in them. We are mindful of those who over the years took time out of their life in ministry to make a great investment in us. I can mention names like George Bailey and Johnny Ramsey and Hugo McCord and so many others that encouraged me. I'm sure that I could ask all of you and you would give me similar names and similar people that helped you become the man of God you are right now. A man of maturity. The next term is a man of management or oversight. An overseer, a presbyter. We are concerned that individuals come along that can lead the people of God in the future who have great management ability, spiritually speaking. They are helping the church go in a direction that honors God. Oh, how we need elders and deacons and preachers and faithful members who will be people of great management and consider it a sacred trust to pass the baton on. But third, when you look at a passage like Acts 20, verses 17 through 38, elders are shepherds, pastors, men of heart, men of maturity, men of oversight, men of heart who care. Now, I want to say something very strongly. If there is a preacher crisis in the body of Christ, there is an even larger elder crisis in the body of Christ. And if I had no more concern as a preacher for men coming up than it seems that some elders do for gifted and qualified men to come along who are better men than us, I'd be ashamed and I'd repent. Because as a preacher, I have a profound awareness that I better be making an investment in others that are younger and more able and better men than me who will take what I give them and run with it and really honor God and bless the kingdom. We need elders and deacons who think like that too. Often when elders are appointed, the 80-20 rule follows. They're 80% as qualified as the men who served prior to them. We tend to undercut qualifications sometimes, don't we? We ought to be looking for men who are at least 20% better than the current men. Think about that one. And we apply it to leadership in general. Because this is about engaging and enlisting, I am going to offer as humbly as I can for leaders of the church, elders, deacons, preachers, faithful members, I am going to talk about 6 suggestions for engaging leaders and 6 suggestions for enlisting them. Got it? 6 suggestions for engaging leaders. Number 1. This was not something I felt I was particularly gifted at, but I've seen it more and more become a necessity as a leader who wants to try to encourage preachers and others to lead in the body of Christ. We must be talent assessors. We should assess ability and talent. I am thankful that someone long ago encouraged me to preach my first sermon 2 weeks after I was baptized into Christ on a Sunday evening, and I was scared to death. But those people were so gracious to me. You assess talent and ability, and you know, nowadays, you see young people with the ability and technology put that to use for the glory of God as a leader. Help them develop that ability so they can use that for God and for the kingdom's sake. How about music? Where are the great musicians? Where are the great songwriters and poets and book writers among us? Both scholarly and devotional types of authors. It ought to thrill us as leaders to think about what men can do, what ladies can do with poetry and with writing to bless people's lives. That may be out of our realm of expertise, but we see the ability and the talent. Some people have servants' hearts, and so you see they're at their service, and you give them specific ideas about how to serve. There are things, I just call it, we're hardwired. The day may come when I cannot preach, but I thank God that He's given me this opportunity because I really think that's what He wired me to do. And there are people like that who are song leaders, aren't they? There are people like that who are able to teach children. There are people like that who can do personal work and they can work with people and say things and they can touch people's lives. There are young men who will eventually become elders and some of the most faithful men that you'll find anywhere that you can have an impact on. But you need to see their ability and talent, raw as it might be and undeveloped, so that plant can really grow to fruition. You water and you help and strengthen it. This is typically not a strong suit of most elderships. And I say that humbly. There are a number of elders in here. Donnie, I don't think you'll disagree with me necessarily, because often businessmen and things like that. But if we could apply spiritually some of these principles where we see talent and ability and allow them to run and develop, oh, how that would bless the church. To assess ability and skill and to see it. And you know what? And there may be times others don't think you really have an ability, but somebody sees it in you and you're in, and their encouragement makes all the difference in the world. Be that difference maker as a church leader. And somebody will remember you 20, 30, 40 years from now in a class like this. Engaging them. Secondly, bring people together. Good leaders, to get more good leaders, bring people together. I am not sure that we don't have too much in the church that is age-oriented and not enough that includes everybody. You look around in a class like this, and although it's for church leaders, we've got people in here. How old are you? 9? How old are you? 7. 7 to nobody's business. You know, we run a pretty wide variety here, okay? It is crucial for good leaders to, yes, respect different age groups and what they may have in common. Don't misunderstand me, but to also be inclusive enough to think of the body enough that they bring people together. Do you bring people together from various age groups and walks? It would have been phenomenal to see that in the early church. Jew and Gentile worshiping God together. And if God could cross that divide with the gospel, think about all of the racial and personality and cultural divides the gospel can cross today. Bring people together. How? Get specific about it. How can I bring them together? Maybe into my home. Maybe I'll have several people from different walks of life and age groups for a Bible study. Bring people together. It's relational. It will allow people to see you and how real you are. I've been at Westside now in Midland for almost 20 years, and I got to tell you, I never thought I would last that long. I'd been a wandering Jew of a preacher for a long, long time. I don't really know why. Some of you are just the opposite. Carl McCann type guy there, been where he is about 30 now, getting close. But what I have been able to see was a group of young people grow up that got married and stayed home and have families. And now my wife and I are like grandparents to a whole new generation. And I would have never seen that. And I get to be involved in their lives. And they come up to me after I preach because they know Mr. Mike's going to give them Smarties. But I'll talk with them. Because I want to make a difference in their lives and in the church's future. Bring people together of every age and of every walk. How old are you, man?
25.
I got a gift certificate. You reckon you can find any books at Chula Vista you'd like?
Sure.
You can. Good deal. That's yours. Seemed like last year you got that. I asked who'd been an elder the longest, and I think it wasn't even close. Were you born an elder? He remembers when Methuselah was part of that congregation. Yeah, he does. He's been around a while. Third suggestion for engaging others. Have an inner circle that you take a special interest in. While you want to help and encourage everybody, I can assure you that like Jesus and like Paul, be fair about this, but have an inner circle. I'm not talking about establishing a clique. I'm talking about there are individuals that you have such a belief in and their growth and development, you go even farther. You go a mile with everybody, but you go two with these. And maybe Cliff will say something like this. I hope that man becomes a deacon one day because I'm investing in him now. He's helping teach Bible classes now, but I see potential in him to be a regular Bible class teacher here at university. And I'm not going to be around 20 years from now, but he will be, Lord willing. That man may be a preacher. That man may be an elder. That may be the finest young lady that this world has ever seen that you and your wife take an interest in. But take a special interest. And I noticed that when Jesus takes Peter, James, and John aside, whenever the inner circle is mentioned, pay special attention. Think about when they were present. Can you think of a couple of occasions when they were all together? Transfiguration. Man, what they got to behold then. When else? The garden. It wasn't always their finest moment, was it? But they learned by being part of an inner circle. Whenever you allow somebody to come become part of an inner circle, that tells us something. They may disappoint us. Allow yourself the possibility of being disappointed to give them the opportunity to grow. Aren't you glad the Lord does that with us?
Amen.
Number four. Care. The old adage that they will not care how much you know until they know how much you care is true. But they will love you for your wisdom and knowledge if you have shown them over time how much you care. 1 Corinthians 12:24 through 26. I'm afraid sometimes people have the attitude that the preacher doesn't care. He doesn't really care. He's all wrapped up in his own little world. These elders, they're so busy. They don't care about what I'm going through. We must be willing to be interrupted. And there's always things to be done. Manuscripts that got to be turned in. People that need to be visited. But blessed are those who are wise enough to know that there will be times you will drop everything and not even worry about it to take time for somebody that hurts or that needs to talk. They will not forget that you cared. They may know that you were really busy. Think about the Lord and how often some of His grandest teaching was done when He was interrupted. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
It may be your best hour. And for those of us that are so focused on our plans and our goals, sometimes God's got something in His providence that's just a little bit different, doesn't He, in mind? Number five. Pray for and encourage those younger often. Pray for and encourage those who are younger often. And let them know. Be personal about it. Let them know. I'm praying for you. Be There are young men that I prayed for years ago that now are at a point that they have far exceeded all I could have ever hoped as preachers, as Bible class teachers. When we partner with God in growing great men and women, pray for them. Encourage them. Give them opportunities. Let them shine and be willing to be in the background. It says a lot about your praying to ask this question: how much time do I invest in prayer concerning the future of the church and specific people that God may use to bless the body of Christ? Number six. Believe in others. Believe in others. John Mark left Paul, Acts 13:13. I smile when I read it. I don't think it was something that Paul felt good about at all. John Mark may have missed mama's home cooking. He may have had a girlfriend. A lot of factors may have come along, but the idea seems to be in Acts 13:13. When they really could have used John Mark, he wasn't there. And you recall how he and Barnabas have a sharp disagreement concerning him. They both have just agreed completely on the same page about what to do with Gentiles who come to Jesus. There's no way that we're going to try to enforce he that believes and is baptized and is circumcised shall be saved. We're all on the same page on that. Remember Acts 15? Remember this? They are on the same page. They're together when it comes to, let's go back and visit these places where we were before, see how they're doing, and encourage them in their growth. They're on the same page. And Barnabas says, yes, and let's take John Mark. And Paul says, no way, Jose. People may agree on the truth. People may agree on evangelistic principle and edification principle. And yet, leaders can disagree about people. And we tend sometimes to think about what we're disagreeing about a whole lot more than we think about the other areas. We disagreed on truth, and we disagreed on how we should be carrying out the truth. But they're talking about an individual here, John Mark. But I think both of them make a profound point. Paul is saying something like this. We need to think about what the man can do for the gospel. Before, when we needed him, he left us. Does that make sense to you? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. He's not going, is he, Randy? Paul's pretty definite about it. You want to tackle Paul? Clash of the Titans, battle of the heavyweights. Ali Frazier, spiritually speaking. Then you get Barnabas, Mr. Encourager, who says, now wait a second, Paul. Wasn't that many years ago that you were one that some people had doubts about? Ouch! And I stood up for you. Are you saying I shouldn't do the same thing for John Mark? Believe in people. Even when you have egg on your face. Be wise, but believe in people. Aren't you glad that Barnabas took John Mark? Paul must have been, because he said that he was useful to me in ministry in 2 Timothy 4. There is a place for thinking about what the gospel will do for the man. We rightly think what the man will do for the gospel, but we must also think what the gospel can do for the man over time. Believe in that. enlist. Typically what we've tried to do is draft. It's a whole lot better in the church when we get people who enlist rather than feeling like we're drafting them all the time. Six suggestions for enlisting others in church leadership. Suggestion number one. Elders, if you see younger people, younger men with ability, ask them to attend an elders meeting. I don't know if y'all realize this. How many elders are in here? If you're an elder, raise your hand. People are scared to death of elders meetings. What in the world goes on in those places? You know, people are really, it's a horrifying, we've been called to an elders meeting. You know, if you're a preacher, that can't be good. Now, invite younger men to come to at least part of an elders meeting so they can see how you work together and how you pray. How there are tears shed and how there's laughter and how there's togetherness and concern. Bring people together. Bring these young people and say something like this. We're doing this because we think you can be a future leader in the body of Christ. Be humble and keep growing. But we want you to sit in. And they may not be able to stay for all the meetings. Things might be discussed that they don't need to hear. But just to see how you interact and what takes place. How about a deacon's meeting, a committee meeting? How about a planning session? Invite them and even do something like this. In the course of the meeting, ask a young person, what do you think? What do you think? You do that with a young man or two over the years, and those young men will back you and be on your team. And if you don't do it, if you neglect it, you'll be sorry. Again, if I was concerned about training future preachers the way some church leaders are about future elder development, deacon development, I'd really have to repent. Enlisting them. Number two, I like this one a lot, and it has really worked for me as a preacher. Ask men to go with you to make a visit. A nursing home. A hospital visit. To those who are sick or bereaved, to someone who is a new Christian, to someone who is a struggling Christian, a widow or widower that doesn't have many people come to their home, ask someone who is younger to go with you to make a visit like this. It may change their lives to see these people. And to have the opportunity to serve them. A young man who had just graduated from high school a few years back went with me for a 2-week long trip to New Zealand to preach and teach and lead singing. He's getting married next Saturday. He's a faithful Christian man marrying a faithful Christian young lady, and wherever they go, they're going to be a great blessing to the church. And I couldn't give somebody, I wouldn't give you $1 million. It'd be way too little for the time that we had together. It's worth way more than that when we went to New Zealand. Give them, number three, this is enlisting others. Give them specific areas of opportunity. Be specific. You see the talent and the ability. Talk with other leaders and give them specific areas of opportunity. I know one of the things that Bear Valley does, and I have noticed this every time, and I'm a Texas guy, and I work with Bear Valley, but I go to Bear Valley, and I see a young man get up and lead songs that he has written for the congregation to learn better. And he's growing. And his skill is developing as a songwriter. And others are helping him. We need more and more of that. Find specific areas where people have talent and ability and think of specific ways that they can use this. You know what? Nowadays we have so many people who are techno geeks. We ought to have way better websites than we do in most of our places. Turn it over to some young person and say, we want you to take this and make it great to God's glory and we'll back you. You're going to be answerable to us on these kinds of things as leaders, but we believe that you can do a super job here. There's some of these young people that need to be brought in and let them, maybe for a quarter, help assist in a Bible class. Maybe they're 17 or 18. You know, we're always looking for teachers, aren't you, where you are? Why not just say, hey, we're going to take some of our teenagers and they're going to be helping teach at least for a quarter. Why not? Why not? Put them with an experienced teacher, let them work. You know what you call that? A practicum. Teacher's practicum. It'll bless others. Number four, speak of leadership development often and positively. Speak of leadership development often and positively. Do we? There's just not any good preachers anymore. I remember back when the elders at university in San Marcos, oh, they were just great men. They were giants of the faith. We need to be careful in how we speak. And we need to be positive and speak often about developing leadership. If we are, then we will get the kind of leadership that we're positive and prayerful about. Couple of more. In enlisting others to greater leadership in the church, provide special opportunities for their development. Provide special opportunities for their spiritual development. Focal point. Polishing the pulpit. Discipleship University, Arise, lectureships in various places and workshops. Take young people to those places. And Bruce, a number of years ago, a young family took me to Fried Hardeman because they knew I was interested in going to a Christian college. And I sat in the back of that car and I was just as quiet as I could be as we drove to Henderson, Tennessee. And as we got there, I was just kind of in awe of everything that I saw at Fried Hardeman. It was just a different world from what I was accustomed to. And I got to go and sit at the feet of people like William Woodson, who had a profound impact on me, and meet others. I owe that couple that I didn't say hardly a word to the whole trip down there and back more than I can say for taking me to Fried Hardeman and the opportunity that went with it. Be specific. Plan special occasions for spiritual development. Whatever happened to teachers' workshops? Anybody know? It's not only on the endangered species list, it's extinct. Making better teachers. What's happened to evangelism workshops and leadership development workshops? Are they all dinosaurs? And even if we say, well, maybe that time is gone and in some ways it's not going to come back, it can come back, and in a really good way, on a person-to-person basis. It may be that you're somebody's focal point. It may be, Bobby, that you're somebody's focal point. And their time with you changes their life and matures them so that they want to manage what God's given them and bless the church because they care. Lastly, start now. Start now. It's meant a lot to me over the last number of years to make sure that I was encouraging men about preaching and teaching and leading. But it never really occurred to me when I was younger. And if I had begun, you know, it's like saving. It's like investing. You know, you talk about compound interest. You wait till you're in your 50s and 60s to start saving. It's good. You can save a little bit. But I tell you what, you start in your 20s, compound interest works for you, don't it? You start young making an investment in others and help them along this way to be great men and women of God, and compound interest will come your way. And you know what? I think of what Paul says. You are my joy and my crown. By encouraging, engaging, enlisting future leaders, we'll have joy, and they'll be our crown. Thank you, guys.